Let's find out some rural news of the week with Tony Allen. And Tony, spring seems to have sprung.
Yes, and as soon as the winter ends, the summer looms, and so do bushfires. And this week, the Bushfire and Natural Hazards Cooperative Research Centre put out its seasonal outlook, its prediction for the bushfire risks going through spring and summer. And basically, the risk is above normal for much of the east coast of Australia, plus the mid-north of South Australia, including the Adelaide Hills, and the west coast of South Australia, and much of Western Australia too. Now, the reason for it, according to the Cooperative Research Centre's Dr. Richard Thornton, is that grasslands haven't grown so much because there hasn't been much rain. So grasslands aren't too bad, but that's left fuel loads big in the forests. And there's a lot of forests around our capital cities, in particular places like the Blue Mountains, the hills of Adelaide and Melbourne and so on. So that's a real worry. So he says those fuel loads have increased where the forests have dried out.
It's important that we recognise and get the messages out to the communities that are living in those forested areas that now's the time that they really should be looking to prepare for this coming season, understand what their plan is and write it down and practice it and all those things which we know that in general people aren't doing.
And of course the big worry for farmers at the moment is how much rain we're going to get in the short term at least.
Yes, well, many cropping regions in South Australia, Victoria, southern New South Wales and Western Australia had below average rainfall in August, and the rainfall has been pretty spasmodic for a few months now. Ron Story from Australian's Crop Forecasters says at the start of August, most crop growing regions were on track for better than average or at least average yields, but now they've had to downgrade the forecast for the national wheat crop.
There probably is not a crop in Australia at the moment that would not benefit from some rain. What's critical about September is that the days get longer and warmer, and therefore the crops need more moisture. The plant is ready to go. So this next 2 to 3 weeks really will be a knife edge for some crops. If they don't get rain at all, some of them will go back very, very rapidly, and some of them may even fail.
Having a look at some other news now and the perennial talking point of development in Northern Australia.
Yes, I can hear the words, where's the money coming from, reverberating around.
Yes.
And look, they've been trying to look at ways of developing Northern Australia economically since the 1930s. So we have
countless reports.
We have heard this before, but the Federal Parliamentary Committee looking at economic development of Northern Australia tabled its report this week. And it recommended a lot of things, about 40 recommendations, including establishing a Department of Northern Australian Development, which would look after WA, Queensland and the Northern Territory, and a whole string of major infrastructure projects that needed money ploughed into them, like roads and dams and weirs. I'll give you a list of some of them. Improving highways, not just the Bruce Highway in Queensland and the Stuart Highway through the centre, I guess they're the two big ones, but also what they call the Han Highway, which links Cairns to Melbourne inland, and the Tanami Road, which links the Kimberley to southern Northern Territory and leads you to a route in South Australia. They reckon that by sealing a lot of that and floodproofing it, they can chop about 17 hours or so off the journey. So that's all very well and good. No indication there's money coming. The other thing is they've also talked about new irrigation projects in Queensland, west of Rockhampton for horticulture and also up on the Flinders River. We've heard these before too, but they say the chairman of the committee, Warren Inch, says he wants to see these go ahead, but only if they're environmentally sustainable.
It says the committee recommends that the Australian government give priority to the development and funding of water resource proposals that have been scientifically identified as being sustainable and with the strongest cost-benefit case and consistent with the national water policy.
Now, when I was young, mohair was really only found in those sort of slightly scratchy rugs you used to sometimes have on the bed, but it's high-end fashion now.
Yeah, so you could find it in op shops sometimes too,
yes.
But now the European fashion houses are very interested in mohair. There's a world shortage of it, and if you've got some Angora goats, it's good news. The latest sale in Australia averaged $17 a kilo for Angora wool, up a dollar since May, and Australia can't produce enough mohair to meet the world demand. Goat farmer Tracy Hodder from Pambola in New South Wales, she's got about 200 goats, and she says the industry has been working hard to produce a high standard of fibre.
It's a great trend. It's just wonderful for the industry. Gives everyone money for the hard work and maybe some inspiration for more people to come into the industry.
And still on the whole supply and demand pressures, good old lemons.
Good time to have a backyard lemon tree, Edwina, because there is a world shortage of lemons.
Goodness, I've got one.
Yes, and you know, you can find a backyard tree chock-a-block with lemons and then go into the supermarket down the road and find they're a dollar each.
Yes,
because there's a huge demand for the Australian fruit. Andrew Harty from Citrus Australia says there's a couple of reasons for it. One is that severe frosts have damaged lemon crops in California and Argentina, which are big lemon exporters, and Australians are using more lemons at home.
Use of lemons appears to be increasing steadily in Australia, and you know that's more of interest because I guess you know California and Argentina will recover from that event, and so the world supply will normalise, but it seems that consumers here are just using more lemons and buying more, and so that's a great thing for us long term.
And lemons to one side, the critical food item at this time of year is the meat pie. Are we going to have enough?
Well, that's a good question. If you live in southern Australia, you would know that the economy is largely driven by the AFL.
Yes.
And the demand for meat pies at footy final time is pushing up the sale yard prices for bulls in Western Queensland.
That's kind of extraordinary, isn't
yeah,
it, really?
This week at the Dolby sales in Western Queensland, heavy bulls reached 225 cents a kilo. That's a good price. And stock agent Harvey Wayman Jones says there are fewer bulls around for mincing because of recent rain. The farmers are trying to keep them on, so that the processors are struggling a bit to fill the meat pie orders ahead of the footy finals.
This is the peak time for pie eating, and so the demand for the better quality cull bulls and cows with plenty of meat on them—that's what they go into to those beef pies. So the demand is there from the processors, and the supply has reduced dramatically, so prices have to go up.
There you are. If you were in any doubt that there was beef in a meat pie, there's your proof.
Well, if you can't find a meat pie, maybe tuck into a strawberry instead, because there's a lot of them, apparently.
Yes, they normally have strawberries during the tennis, not the football, but there's a lot of strawberries around and some of them aren't too good. Queensland growers aren't meeting their costs of production because of recent rain in the growing areas in the south. A lot of strawberries have been damaged and they're being dumped on the market very cheap at peak production time. You've been able to get not-so-good strawberries for about a dollar a punnet. Queensland Strawberry Industry Development Officer, that's not a bad job, is it? Strawberry Industry Development Officer.
Taste testing.
Jennifer Rowling says prices are as low as about $5 a kilo in some supermarkets, and some growers aren't even bothering to pick the fruit.
There are growers that, when it gets to the point where they are losing money, they shut down and they plough it in. And I've got a grower that I know of, he says he refuses to pay a dollar to make 90 cents. That's his turning point.
Now, we've spoken with Joy about Sean, the woolly sheep from Tasmania, but he had a bit of a mysterious sort of tale to tell. We found out a bit more about his journey this week.
We found out where Sean came from 6 years ago. You might, if you haven't caught up with this story, which has gone around the world, Sean the sheep, 6 years old, was found on a property at Oatlands in the Midlands of Tasmania. He'd never been shorn, and they even thought that his fleece might break the world record. Didn't quite do that, but it made 23 kilos. Which he'd grown during his wanderings in the bush over many years. The fleece is going to be on show at the Hobart Show, and Sean himself may make a personal appearance. And his fleece is attracting offers from all over the world. Where people want to pay far more than what the normal price for 23 kilos because there's such a story attached to the fleece. Well, and his movements have been traced back to the east coast of Tasmania. So he came over mountains, through forests, all sorts of things over 6 years. He came from a property owned by Jeff Bull on the east coast at Freycinet, and he says Sean escaped 6 years ago after a fire damaged his fences.
He's gone through all those years up in the bush. There have been fires, dry periods, and there's periods of where there's snow on the ground up in the hills there for weeks on end, and he's foraged for food and survived. He's crossed rivers, creeks. It's absolutely amazing of the survival of that sheep.
Just like Sean on the television, who often has amazing escapades.
Yeah, well, he's being treated as a celebrity, and apparently they said he shouldn't go back to Freycinet. They're quite happy for him to stay at Oatlands in the company of Prue the ewe.
A happy ending. We love it. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony Allen with the week's Rural News.